Do you find yourself full of fear? I mean, are you panicked about the future? Precious one, know this, that if you belong to God, God loves you. He loves you with a perfect love. The thoughts that he has for you are thoughts of good, just like he said to Israel, to give you a future and to give you a hope because you're part of the new covenant in his blood. And because you're a child of God, God has a wonderful future. So he has a future for you. Your job is simply to fear him, not man. You know what, as I sit here and do this program for you, I've got to tell you that my heart is filled with love for you. You say, but you don't even know me. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. Well, if you're new to the program, you don't know where I've been, what I've done either. But I've been redeemed, and I'm loved with a perfect love. And you know what? Perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. God does not want you and me to live in torment. He doesn't want you and me to live tossed to and fro and not knowing where we're going. He doesn't want you and I to live in slavery to the fear of man. God came to set us free. God came to set us free from our sins. He came to set us free and to draw us to himself. He came in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you and me. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And yet, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. He loves you with a perfect love, and perfect love casts out fear. Now, we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 40 through 44 this week, and I left you in Jeremiah chapter 40 in verse 7, where Gedaliah now is ruling over the children of Israel that are left in the land. In Jeremiah chapter 39, Jerusalem has been conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, decimated, destroyed, the temple destroyed, vessels from the temple taken away again, people in chains, led into exile into Babylon, and yet they're the ones that are going to have it good. They're the ones that are spared what is going to go on. But there is a remnant left in the land of Judah. And Jeremiah had a choice to either go with Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the bodyguard, and be protected by him and taken all the way to Babylon, or to stay in the land. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had given that order. Well, Jeremiah chooses to stay in the land. So he goes to Mizpah, verse 6 of Jeremiah 40. Then Jeremiah went to Mizpah to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and stayed with him among the people who were left in the land. Now, all the commanders of the forces that were in the field, they and their men heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah over the land, and that he had put him in charge of the men, women, and children, those of the poorest of the land who had not been exiled to Babylon. It's like he just looked at the offscouring of society and said, you stay here. I don't even want you in Babylon. You're so poor. You're so whatever. They were called bad figs in a description much earlier in the book of Jeremiah. So they came to Gedaliah as Mizpah, along with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Yohanan, and Jonathan, the sons of Kareah, and Siriah, the son of Tanhumeth. I hope you don't imitate me in the reading of this. I never got hooked on phonics. And the sons of Ephi, both the Nephophite and Jezaniah, the son of the Machahite, both they and their men. Now, I'm going to skip over all those big words from now on. Then Gedaliah, the son of Shaphan, swore to them and their men, saying, do not be afraid of serving the Chaldeans. Stay in the land and serve the king of Babylon, that it may go well with you. Now, this is a very, very important verse, because God has allowed Nebuchadnezzar to put Gedaliah over the people. Gedaliah is telling the people, you're left here, but I want you to know, you are not to be afraid of the king of Babylon. You are to settle in your land. Now, just remember, they have been under siege for years. They have been eating their own children in the city of Jerusalem. I mean, it is absolutely awful. And watch what happens. He says, now as for me, behold, I'm going to stay at Mizpah to stand for you before the Chaldeans who come to us. But as for you, gather in wine and summer fruit and oil and put them in your storage vessels and live in your cities. Live in your cities that you have taken over. Now, they have walked out of Jerusalem where they have had, I mean, even Jeremiah only had one loaf of bread a day when he was kept under guard as a prisoner. And they have stepped out of those walls, and here is a land where there are fruits, where there are vegetables, where there is oil, where there is wine, and they can have it. And they can have it. Now listen very carefully. As long as they're not afraid. It says, likewise, also, all the Jews who were in Moab and among the sons of Ammon and in Edom, Moab and Edom and Ammon are present day Jordan. So just think of the other side, the eastern side of the Jordan River. He says, who heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant. Now, one of the things that you need to do is every time we come to the word remnant, I would mark it. And I just put like a blue rectangle over remnant. And then between the M and the N, I draw another blue line so that you can see that it's like a remnant of a piece of cloth. It's that which is left over. It's if you sew and you go to a store, they'll have a remnant table where they've come to the end of the bolt. And there's just maybe 2 yards or 3 yards or 5 yards or a quarter of a yard left. And you can buy it very cheaply. So he said he had left a remnant for Judah, and that he had appointed over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan. Then all the Jews returned from all the places to which they had been driven away. So they're coming back to from all these places, and they're gathering together because and they came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah at Mizpah and gathered in wine and summer fruit in great abundance. Now, Yohanan, the son of Kirion, all the commanders of the force that were in the field came to Gedaliah at Mizpah and said to him, are you well aware that Balas, the son of the king of the sons of Ammon, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to take your life? Did you know that? Did you know that someone's after you? Do you know that they're out to get you? Now listen, we need to not be paranoid. But we need to be wise. The Bible talks about being as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. And let me just tell you this. As a Christian, if you are standing for Jesus Christ, if you are a person that is truly committed to God, who is going to honor the Word of God, who is going to take this Word, as it says in 2 Timothy 4, and preach it in season and out of season, if you're going to use it to reprove people, to show them where they're wrong, to rebuke them, to say, this is wrong and there's consequences that go with it. If you're going to reprove them and rebuke them, and if you're going to exhort them means you're going to come alongside them and help them. And if you're going to do it with long suffering, that means you don't yell, you don't whoop, like that. But long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine means that you're able to open the Word of God and you're able to take this book and you're able to explain it to others so that they understand. That's what this program is all about. That's what Precept Ministries International is all about. Establishing you in God's Word so that you can discover truth for yourself, so that you then can take these principles and the other Bible studies that we have. We have no homework Bible studies, but it's all Bible. You do it together to 15 minutes a day to take you through the Word of God with the new inductive study series, book by book, so you know the whole counsel of God. And then we have our Lord's series that is very, very practical and on different topics and on warfare and the names of God and grace and all sorts of things. Lord, where are you when bad things happen? Then we have the creme de la creme, the Rolls Royce of Bible studies, and that's precept upon precept. We have these all over the country. You can go online to preceptsforlife.com. You can go online and you can find out where we are, and then you can connect with us. So you need to know the Word of God. When you know the Word of God and you stand for God, then you're going to know that you're putting yourself up for attack. Gedaliah would not listen. He could not believe that Ishmael was going to come against him. It said Gedaliah did not believe them. Then Yohanan, the son of Kareth, spoke secretly to Gedaliah in Mizpah, saying, "Let me go and kill Ishmael, the son of Nethanai, and not a man will know. Why should he take your life so that all the Jews who are gathered to you would be scattered and the remnant of Judah would perish?" But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said to Johanan, the son of Kareah, "Do not do this thing, for you are telling a lie about Ishmael." Was he telling a lie, or was he telling the truth? See, it's your job and my job to discern. How do you discern? You go to the Lord and you check out what's being said with the Word of God, and the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you into all truth. We'll talk about it more in just a minute. Should Gedaliah have listened to Johanan? Should he have allowed him to kill him? Is he in danger? Well, that's where we left off. And what we're going to see is, yes, he should have listened. Maybe not have had Johanan kill him, but he was in danger and he didn't know it. Beloved, you need to wake up and see that if things don't change in the United States of America, Christians are in great danger. There are people that want to silence us. There are people that do not want to hear about our faith. There are people that do not want to hear the word of God. And with the hate crimes legislation and other legislation that is coming to control the airways, to control the media, we're in trouble. You better know God. Now watch what happens. Chapter 41 of Jeremiah. In the seventh month, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the royal family, and one of the chief officers of the king. Hey, we now know who Ishmael is. We know that he's part of the royal family. We know that he was part of Zedekiah or Jehoiakim, that royal family. We know that he held a position. He was an officer of the king. We know he's been living in Ammon. We have heard that the Baalis, the king of the son of Ammon, had sent Ishmael down to kill Gedaliah. Now it says that he came to Mizpah to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. And when they were eating bread together there in Mizpah, Ishmael and the 10 men who were with him arose and struck down Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, and put to death the one whom the king of Babylon had appointed over the land. So what you have is you have a political uprising and you have some chaos created. And when you have chaos, it's a good time for someone to move in and to take over. This is what you see. There's an excellent, excellent film. It's a movie. It's a story. It's a dramatic presentation, but it's supposed to be historically accurate. And it's called Hitler, The Rise of Evil. And I like to watch historical movies. So I got that movie, Hitler, The Rise of Evil. And it goes back, and in the beginning, as it's pulling up all the credits and titles and everything, and it goes back to Hitler's childhood and takes you through up until the time that Hitler comes to power in Germany. And I'm telling you, it is an enlightening film to watch. You see how he tries to stop the media. You see how he creates chaos in order to get control. I mean, you see how he will not tolerate anyone who does not agree with him. He wants them out of the way. He disregards them. Well, this is what's happened now. Ishmael has killed Gedaliah. And he struck down the Jews that were with him. And it says, and the Chaldeans who were found there, the men of war. Verse 3 tells us that. So he's come in, and what he's done is he's created chaos. And it says in verse 4, now it happened on the next day after the killing of Gedaliah when no one knew about it. I mean, they just went in. Nobody knows. They haven't found the dead bodies yet. Now it happened on the next day after the killing of Gedaliah when no one knew about it that 80 men came from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria. So these are the outlying posts. You can look at your map on Israel and see where Shechem is and where Shiloh is and where Samaria is, because Shiloh's up in Samaria, with their beards shaved off and their clothes torn and their bodies gashed, having grain offerings and incense in their hands to bring to the house of the Lord, a house that does no longer exist. And it says, then Ishmael went out from Mizpah to meet them. Now watch, weeping as he went. He's just crying as he goes. I mean, it's a false crying. And as he met him, he said to them, come to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. Come. Well, Gedaliah's dead. but he's going to put them with Gedaliah. Gedaliah's dead, and yet he's weeping. You cannot trust the man. You cannot trust the man. He says, yet it turned out that as soon as they came inside the city, Ishmael and the men that were with him slaughtered and cast them into the cistern. A cistern is a pit that is meant to hold water or collect water. But 10 men were found among them, said to Ishmael, don't put us to death. For we have stores of wheat and barley and oil and honey hidden in the field. Hey, we can buy you off. And so he refrained and did not put him to death along with their companions. Why? Because they were beneficial to him for what he could have. And so it says, now as for the cistern where Ishmael had cast all the corpses of the men who had struck him down because of Gedaliah, it was the one that King Asa had made on account of Baasha, king of Israel. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, filled that cistern with the slain. Now, if you want to read about Asa and how he did this, Asa is a man that started off following God and then turned to the arm of flesh to help him. And you can read about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. There's, it was where that verse is, that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for a man, looking for a woman whose heart is fully his, that God might show himself strong on behalf of that person. And this is what God says to Asa. He says, but your heart was proud. You think that you can live the way you want to live, and you forget that there's a God in heaven that holds us accountable. And so this is what it says. Then Ishmael took captive all the remnant of the people who were in Mizpah, and the king's daughters, so the king's daughters were left in the land, not just the poor, and all the people who were left in Mizpah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the bodyguard, put in charge of Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. Thus Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, took them captive and proceeded to cross over to the sons of Ammon. Now watch, here are these people. They have come out of captivity. The city has been at siege. They are left in the land. They go out to Gedaliah. Gedaliah says, stay in the land. Do not be frightened by the Babylonians. You're going to be safe. So here is a leader that is speaking from God. But here is a leader that is not wise, that does not listen to the warning, that cannot imagine someone trying to kill him, and he is killed. So here are the people told to stay in the land. Now along comes Ishmael, and I mean, he is the radical. He is not going to leave them in the land. He is going to take them across the Jordan where they had come from in the first place when they entered the land. He's going to take them to the sons of Ammon. He's going to put them under an enemy that is a worshiper of false gods, under an enemy that hates Israel. He's going to put them under them, and he is taking the people on, and yet another thing is going to happen to these people. And we're going to look at that in detail, because there is a point to all of this. And the point is, and I'm going to give it ahead of time, that you and I are to know that the fear of God is our shield, but the fear of man is a snare. We'll talk about it more in the days to come.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
We just saw, beloved, a righteous man by the name of Gedaliah slain, his life taken. His mission stopped. His mission was to take care of those people. And yet, because he would not believe that there was a man that was out to get him, he was overtaken and he was destroyed. Oh, beloved, listen, you and I need to understand that it is given to us not only to believe on Jesus Christ. Look at, just take my right hand, not only to believe on Jesus Christ, and then my left hand, but also to suffer for his name's sake. What is he saying? Take those two hands and put them together and interlock those fingers. And you see exactly what God is saying. It is given to you not only to believe, but also to suffer for his name's sake. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. God makes it very, very clear. And you and I are to expect this. You and I, as I told you earlier, are to be as wise as serpents. We are to be as harmless as doves. We are to know and to understand that there are two classes of people in this world. Those who believe that Jesus is the Christ and have denied themselves and taken up the cross and followed them, and those that do not. Among those that do not, there are those that are blatant in saying that they don't believe in God and that you are stupid and there is not only one way to God. And then there's another group, and that's a group of people who profess to know Christ but don't know him. And the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days, difficult times will come. And it describes what those difficult times are like. And it talks about men being lovers of their own selves. And it talks about the lifestyle that they live as in these last days, how they're lovers of money and boastful, lovers of self. I mean, there's a real hedonism about them. There's a real narcissism about them. They just love self. They want to elevate self. And boy, you see it so much in our society today. Boastful, arrogant, revilers. You're going to see arrogance in Jeremiah in the days to come. Disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness. Beware.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.